This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I am so excited to be here with you today as we celebrate the first 10 days of the blessed month of Dhul-Hijjah. These days are very, very special, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by them in Surah Al-Fajr in the Quran. Now, who knows which Islamic month is the month of Dhul-Hijjah? That's right, it's the 12th month, and in it is Eid. Yes, inshallah. Are you guys all excited to celebrate, inshallah? Only a couple more days, and Eid is going to be right around the corner, where we celebrate and we sacrifice a sheep and give its meat right to those who are in need. Do you guys know why we do that? So let me tell you. I will take you back to a very, very long time ago, and I would love to share with you the story of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, which was the main reason why every year we sacrifice a little lamb like this. So, I'm sure all of you guys know that first was Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, and then his son Sheeth alayhi salam, and from his offspring came Sayyidina Idris, and then Sayyidina Nuh, and then Sayyidina Hud, and then Sayyidina Salih, and all of Sayyidina Hud and Salih, they were all the offsprings of the son of Sayyidina Nuh, who his name was Sam. And then later on, from that offspring came who? Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. So what is the story of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam? Sayyidina Ibrahim lived in a city called Babel in Iraq. Do you guys know your geography well? So this is Africa and this is Saudi Arabia. Iraq is right over here, or Iraq as some people call it in English. So Sayyidina Ibrahim lived in Babel with his family and his father, Azar. And he grew up and he found that everybody in that town or in that city of Babel used to worship stone gods. And he just couldn't understand. How can someone worship something that does not hear, that cannot speak, and that you made with your own hands? And so he started talking to his father. Oh, ya abati, like my dad, how can you worship that which does not speak or that does not understand? And he said, how could you not desire to worship the gods of my fathers and my forefathers? If you don't stop, Ya Ibrahim, I will kill you. I will stone you to death. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he was 16 years old at that time, very young man. He threatened and he said, if you do not stop, I will demolish, destroy all of these, what? All of these stone gods. And Sayyidina Ibrahim thought and thought, how can I solve this problem? How am I going to tackle it? And he thought to himself, if he could get rid of the source, which is what, the idols, maybe the people will listen to him. But how was he going to do that? There was always somebody with the idols, somebody worshiping them, somebody, you know, carving them, somebody putting food for them. And that was their, what, their tradition. They would make food, put it in front of the stone gods, leave it for them, and then they would come back later, take the food and eat it, thinking that the gods would had blessed it. Till one day, it was their day of celebration, or their Eid, right? And they were all heading out. They used to head out the city and celebrate and rejoice and whatnot. And before they left, they would what put the food in front of the gods. And then when they were done with their celebration at the end of the day, they would come back to what to collect the food. So they told Ibrahim, come on, let's go. And Sayyidina Ibrahim told them, he looked at the stars and he said, oh, I feel that today I'm going to be sick. And he stayed behind. And he went and he destroyed all the stone gods except for Kabirahum, the biggest one of them, the big head. And he took the tool with which he destroyed all of these stone gods and he put it around his neck. The day passed by and the people came back and they were shocked. Who did this to our stone gods? One of them remembered the threat of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, and they said, bring him here. And they started asking him, Ya Ibrahim, did you do this to our stone gods? And he said, why don't you ask the biggest one of them? And they were silent for a moment and they said, how can we ask that which does not speak or hear? Mic drop, right? Like, hello, doesn't that make sense to you? And so For a minute, they stood there thinking, and it made a lot of sense to them. But then, subhanAllah, they indulged more into their oppression, and they said, "We are going to kill you, Ya Ibrahim, for doing this." And they gathered all outside the city of Babin in an empty land, surrounded it with rocks, and they asked everybody to bring as much wood as they could. And they started building the biggest fire you could possibly imagine. And then they tied Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, and they put him in a catapult and pew, right into the fire. At that moment, some narrations in the hadith say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent angel Jibreel and asked him, "Ya Ibrahim, do you have any need?" And Sayyidina Ibrahim said, "Do I have any need from you, Jibreel?" "No, I don't. But do I have any need from Allah?" "Yes, I do. I need his aid." And even in another narration, it says that the angel of rain wanted to take permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring down the rain and put out the fire. But before all of that happened, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed and told the fire to be baridan wa salaman ala Ibrahim, cool and peaceful upon Ibrahim. Not just cold, but peaceful, in the sense that maybe it would have been too cold to the point that it would harm Sayyidina Ibrahim, subhanAllah. And nothing touched Sayyidina Ibrahim. The fire that burns, right? Anybody, we see fire, we know it will burn us. Don't even try to attempt this at home. But we know that it burns us. Allah told it, "Don't burn Ibrahim." And it listened to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only thing that burned were the ropes that tied him. And the people watched this with their own eyes. The fire went out. Sayyidina Ibrahim came out untouched. And you would think they would believe in him. They would believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But none of them believed except Sayyidina Lut alayhi salam. Now, at that time, there was a very strong and powerful king that ruled all the lands. And his name was Nimrud, right? Nimrud heard about the boy who survived from the fire and came out unharmed. And so he called to him. And Sayyidina Ibrahim went to him and he told him, "Tell me about your God." And Sayyidina Ibrahim told him what? That my Lord or my Rabb, what? Yuhyi, huwa alladhi yuhyi wa yumit, right? He's the one who brings people to life and he causes them to die. And so Nimrud said, "Well, I can cause people to die or bring them to life." And he ordered that his guards bring two people that were sentenced, what? To death. And he ordered that one of them would be sentenced to death and the other one be set free. He said, "See, I cause one to live and the other to die." And Sayyidina Ibrahim said, "That's not what I meant. My Lord, what yati, what my Allah, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْتِي بِالشَّمْسِ مِنَ الْمَشْرِقِ فَأْتِي بِهَا مِنَ الْمَغْرِبِ. My Lord brings the sun from the east, bring it from the west." And of course, he couldn't do anything because only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could do that. And then Nimrud told him to leave. And Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam took Sayyidina Lut and they left and they headed where? Upwards towards Sham or Philistine. And at that time, he had married Sittina Sara alayhi salam. And time went by, they traveled, they went to Egypt, and also they had trouble there with the king of Egypt. And as they were leaving, they were gifted what? A servant, and her name was Sittina Hajar alayhi salam. They took Hajar and they decided to return back again to Sham or Philistine, that area over there. And while they were there, Sittina Sara felt Sayyidina Ibrahim was almost 86 years old. And he didn't have any children. And she realized that she could not have children. And so she asked him to marry Sittina Hajar so that he could have a child. And so it was. They got married and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him his first son, Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, at the age of 86. Imagine how dear he must have been to him. Subhanallah. After a while, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Sayyidina Ibrahim to take Sittina Hajar and his little newborn baby Ismail and take them to an area called Mecca. And Mecca, which is Saudi Arabia, is not like what we see now with all the fancy hotels. Those of you who have gone there and the beautiful Haram and the Kaaba, it was a barren, empty, deserted land. No water, no life, no people, nothing. And he left them there and he started walking away. And Hajar started saying, "You're going to leave me and my baby here, your son?" And he didn't reply. And then she realized and she said, "Was this a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" And Sayyidina Ibrahim said, "Yes." She said, "If it's a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala لن يضيعنا. He will not let us down. He will take care of us. And Ibrahim alayhi salam left, and their food supply started diminishing until baby Ismail started crying. And the mother, the heart of the mother, felt so much pain. She started running from one mountain and or walking from one mountain to the other, trying to look, is there anybody around who could help my baby? Any food, any water? And every time she came down the valley, she would hear her baby, she would start running. And that's why, if any of you guys have been to Hajj or Umrah, in between the mountains of Safa and Marwa, there is an area that they have what kind of like marked with green light. That's where Sayyidina Hajar ran, did the harwala, and the men usually what run a little bit faster in that area, what imitating or walking in the footsteps of Sayyidina Hajar, and to show you the mercy that the mother had. And on the seventh lap, she heard something, and she said, "Sah, sah," like be quiet. And she ran back to her baby, and lo and behold, there was a water spring running from underneath the feet of baby Ismail alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down angel Jibreel from heaven, and he struck the ground with his wing, and out came Zamzam that we drink from till this day. Sayyidina Hajar started quickly digging for the spring, and she started surrounding it right with rocks and trying to keep it contained, telling it, "Zimmi, zimmi, gather, gather, collect." And Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "If it were not for Sayyidina Hajar, till you know, putting or gathering the water around and keeping it in a well, it would have been a river of Zamzam." Now, at that time, there was a big problem that happened all the way in the south in Yemen. They used to have a dam called the Dam of Mi'rab, and it broke down, the land flooded, and people from Yemen, or the Arabs who were the original Arabs, started leaving. Now, from them was a tribe called the Tribe of Jurhum, and they started heading north because they were traders, and they knew if they got to Sham or to, you know, the upper area there, they would be safe, there would be water, there would be land, and so what, and so, you know, and so on and so forth. But on their way, they realized something very strange. They saw in the middle of the desert birds circling, and birds circling meant there was life. And so they sent a messenger, and there they found a water well, and they found who? Hajar alayhi salam and baby Ismail. Now, they were very decent people. They did not raid or kidnap people or any of that stuff. So they went and they asked her, "Would you allow us to stay here and drink and live over here?" She said, "No problem, but you have to pay me for the water." And so it was. Just as Sayyidina Ibrahim was leaving and he made dua asking Allah to bring people to his offspring, Allah drove the people of Jurhum towards who? Sayyidina Hajar and Ismail alayhim salam. And Ismail grew amongst the people of Jurhum, and he learned from them Arabic, the Fusha Arabi, and he became so eloquent that he even became better than them. And later on, Sayyidina Ismail married from the people of Jurhum, and from his offspring, all his children are called the Arab al-Musta'araba, like the Arabized Arabs. They're not really fully Arabs, but they married from the Arabs, and they what kind of like gave us the Arab al-Musta'araba. Now, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam used to come and visit Sayyidina Ismail and Hajar multiple times a year. One time when he was visiting him, he had a very strange dream. He saw in his dream that he was slaughtering or sacrificing his only son that he had after 86 years of waiting, Ismail alayhi salam. And he knew that any dream that a prophet sees is a vision. It was a command, a wahi from Allah. And he went to Ismail and he told him, "Ya Ismail, I saw in my dream that I was slaughtering you. Fandur mada tarasi, what should I do?" You see how he's asking his son? And Sayyidina Ismail, the obedient son, told him, "Ya Abati, my dad, if this is what Allah commanded you, inshallah, you will find me from those who are patient." You see how humble Sayyidina Ismail is alayhi salam. He said, "Oh, I'm going to be just brave and patient. Only if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, I will be patient." And they both totally submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such a big test. And he really went ahead to slaughter his son. But again, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't let the fire burn Sayyidina Ibrahim, he made the knife not cut Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, because they both aslama, they submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as they did that, Sayyidina Ibrahim looked behind him and he found a sheep, just like my sheep here, my kharuf and their little babies here, that was sent down from Jannah instead to sacrifice instead of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. Subhanallah, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us by seeing if we would let things go for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we really prove to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our sincerity, and it doesn't have to be something physical, it could be something or a habit that we struggle with. When we really submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah rewards in such a way. And look at the reward. Till this year, many thousands and thousands of years later on, we still celebrate the same way Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam did. And every year we sacrifice a lamb to what? To prove to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our sincerity. And we go and perform Hajj every year, right? On the day of Arafah, the 9th of the Hijjah. We run between the Safa and the Marwa like Sittina Hajar alayhi salam to show how important it is to follow in the footstep of our mother and how it was basically showing the rahmah of the mother. And we go to Mecca just like Sayyidina Ibrahim and to prove that it's the dua of Sayyidina Ibrahim, a father, and to understand the importance of mothers and fathers in our lives. Inshallah, Eid is in a couple of days. May you all, Ya Rab, have an amazing Eid, and may we all be able to sacrifice and give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that which is dear to our heart, to prove to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have truly submitted to Him. Inshallah, I wish you all have an amazing, amazing Eid, and you have lovely lambs too. But not this one. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.